You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Circle Radio Network. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can see since I found serenity. Can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening, my friends. Yes, it's the Tinker. So, we have a Saturday night once again, 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. And it is the 17th of January of 2015. Wow, almost had my months mixed up there. So, oh, yes, Iowa Cat, you said that was kind of a strange music there at the, what I had there at the beginning. Well, I thought, what the heck. It's a piece of music that, from a group of individuals that I like to listen to a lot of years ago. They're known as Tangerine Dream. And that one was the, let's see here. That was called Mars Polaris 1. So, I decided, you know, what the heck. I'm going to probably start doing a little bit more different types of music. You know, what the heck. Kind of gives everybody a change of pace. And, by the way, hopefully I'm coming through clear enough. Nugget will probably come and let me know if I'm not, you know, if someone says something. But, yeah. So. Well, let's see here. Before I get into my usual stuff tonight here, I found something this afternoon that I just figured I just had to share with you guys. It was out on one of the conservative websites, and it just so happens that it was on YouTube. So I was able to find it again, and so I can play it. What this is let's see, how'd you call it? The Second Amendment, the liberal edition. In other words, this is, you know, probably how liberals think of Thomas Jefferson, you know, the night before he proposed the Second Amendment to the Constitution. So, enjoy, and we'll be back here in, about 2 minutes or so.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Unless, like, guns get way more advanced than today. Because this thing is totally about hunting, you guys. I'm super serious. Like, if the gun can fire more than one round in a minute, or if it can hold, like, a crap ton of bullets, I don't know, 10 or, say, 5, I don't know. You can just change this thing whenever. When there's guns that can have too many bullets in them, you'll totally know. Also, if the guns are a super scary color, or if the rifle can have that, like, you know, one of those more vertical grips instead of the horizontal thing, then the whole thing is off. We can't have people protecting the security of a free state by hunting with scary black guns that can hold a few extra bullets and have that vertical grip. That would just be crazy. Insanity. Because again, this thing is like totally for hunting. I'm as serious as scurvy, people. I'm leaving this whole Constitution thing really open to interpretation so that the right people can maybe come along and capture what I'm truly trying to say here. Hopefully some reasonable people who've never actually fired weapons before, I think they'd offer like a super fresh perspective. Maybe like some women. Yeah, that'd be perfect. I'm picturing like some stay-at-home moms who are really looking for a cause, something to sink their teeth into. Maybe they can take this Second Amendment deal and really take it under their wing. You know, start a support group. The point I'm trying to make here is that the whole part about the well-regulated militia and the right to bear arms, that's really just a footnote. The real takeaway here is that people should only be allowed to have certain guns because this thing is, like, totally for hunting.
Okay, here we are. Well, yeah, I'm slightly distracted because in the background Jake has got my laptop and I can hear the sound there. So if I kind of stumble once in a while, that's why it is. So, okay, well, like I said, tonight is, you know, Saturday night, the 17th of January of 2015. And let's see here. Yes, welcome to everybody. Hello, IOCAT, Gene, Lil, Minnie, Scoutus, and of course the Nugget. He's here too. Okay, so let's see. I'll have to dig that link out a little bit later. Let's see here. I'll have to dig that out a little bit later and put it up there. Actually, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and put the link into the onto the web page. I'll go ahead and edit that later on this evening and get that in there. Because yeah. Oh, lengthwise. Tell you what. Let's see here. Let's see, maybe I can grab it here real quick here again. Hold in here just a little bit. Oh, nope. I thought I had put it up here before. I guess I hadn't. Okay. Well, I'll have to go. I'll have to dig it back out a little bit later. Because otherwise, I'll be trying to find it and losing track of my thoughts. Of course, at some point here when I put some music in here later, I'll go ahead and I'll find it. So, okay, so for tonight, if you go over here to the left hand side on the menu here, you know, there's the Tinker's Shop link. Those who want to follow along with the web page I've created, you know, I have a link here. So once you get over to the Tinker's Shop out at arlen-tower.com/Tinkers_shop with a capital T. Yeah, that's for those who are just listening podcast-wise in the future. You'll see I have a new link here, up here at the top of the list for today, called Tincture Press. And this is what we're going to be talking about tonight is, you know, how to build a simple tincture press. And obviously, I'll give everybody a few seconds to get over here. Okay. Well, I imagine everybody who is going to the web page is there now, so we can go ahead and start. So tonight I'll be talking about how to build and use a home-built tincture press. And I'd wanted a tincture press here for several years, but a pre-made one was, shall we say, always a little bit outside my usual price range. You know, it's like my wife says, she's Scottish descent, and her father, they always say, they're frugal. Well, me, I'm German, so I'm just cheap. So, Anyhow, so I decided to, you know, apply my Google foo and search out different designs. And the best design I had found was located out at, http://practicalprimitive.com and then /skill of the month /tincturepress.html. And I've actually have the link for that here on the web page too, so if people want to look at that in the future to kind of compare types, please feel free to, because it's this is kind of my own, shall we say, roll my own version of this. And since I had trouble finding the proper hardware, the specific hardware they talked about out on Practical Primitive, I decided to go ahead and, like I said, you know, decided to make my own version, and that's a case of, you know, surprise, surprise. You know, me, you know, what else? You know, I find an idea and I try and improve on it. So, if we scroll down here a little bit, right now I just have this labeled assembly process, and I should have probably said assembly process for Mark One, because while I was constructing it yesterday, as a matter of fact, I decided to, you know, follow as closely as I could with the design the other person had. But I came up with several thoughts for improvements on it. So what we have here first, you know, for the assembly process, the first photo here, you see a couple blocks of wood and three rods and a fitting. Well, those drilled wood blocks, again, the original design, the person called for using a 1 foot long 2x4, you know, two pieces of it. And I could have, you know, hacked up a 2x4 and done it with it. But I thought, no, I've got some nice, you know, 2-inch square maple. So that's what I grabbed. So that's what those two wood blocks are. They're about 9.5 inches long, and, you know, cross-sectional measurement is 2 inches by 2 inches. And then we got three threaded steel rods here. The top one is a 3/4 inch. The next two are 1/2 inch rods. And down at the bottom, we have a 1/2 inch pipe flange. And you can get those both in galvanized and in just cast iron. Where I went to get the parts, all they had was the galvanized, so that's what I went with. Again, this kind of was done as kind of an exercise to just check and see what was available, and then to be able to adapt to it. So, and the next shot down here, again, you know, it's, you know, pretty well self-explanatory. There's some 3/4 inch and 1/2 inch fender washers, some 3/4 inch and 1/2 inch nuts, and then two nesting steel bowls. These are somewhat lighter ones, to where literally they'll stack up and be able to nest right down into each other without jamming. So let me do this. I'm going to take a quick peek here in the chat room just to see if anybody had any questions or comments so far. And okay, looks like we're in pretty good shape here so far. Okay, yeah, I owe Cat. Yeah, I know it looks complicated, but it really isn't that bad. You know, because in the first two photos, that is the parts. That's the sum total of the parts I used. You know, those rods, they're threaded. They're 1 foot long stock threaded rods. And, you know, the nuts, well, there's actually more nuts there than I actually needed. But I had just, you know, gotten a couple packages of nuts you know, and tore the packages open, dropped them down there on the cloth, and the same thing with the washers. So it's, you know, so it's really not that much. It's kind of like the some assembly required packages. A lot of times, you know, they'll have everything, you know, marked down right to the last thing. You know, take one nut from bag A and thread it onto shaft A. You know, that sort of thing. What this is just kind of basically to show everybody that it's possible to, you know, put something together quickly. And yes, Minnie, I kind of answered this already, but yes, the three rods are threaded. Okay, so, okay, now I'll go back over here. So, let's see here. Probably, let's see, those bowls, they're roughly, let's see here. I think they're about a 6-inch or 6.5-inch diameter stainless steel bowl. These were cheapies. You know, they're almost like a serving bowl. I picked these up out at the local Amish store. And actually, I picked up three of them just to have an extra around. And they were $1.35 a piece. And the rest of the stuff, the threaded rods, the pipe flange, and all the nuts and all the washers, everything came together. Let's see, I think it was a total of, about $15 altogether. You know, like I said, definitely in my price range. You know, I'm a cheapie. So, okay, so, now, how do we do the wood blocks? You know, the wood blocks are going to be our cross pieces, our cross members, whereas the steel rods are going to be the uprights. So, the top block in this photo, that's going to be the upper block in our tincture press. That is, again, like I said, 2x2, about 9.5 inches long, just like the bottom block. And the way I did it is, and you can probably kind of see it here, I just went ahead and just roughly guesstimated the location for the outside holes. I did the top one first. I put the half-inch hole on each end, roughly, you know, 3/4 inch from the end. I wasn't real fussy about it because, again, like I said, this was wanting to be able to do it fairly quickly and to show people how easily it is to make. So once I had those two holes drilled through with my drill press, I could have done it with a hand drill, but this way I knew that they were going to be, you know, perfectly vertical. You know, they wouldn't be slanted at all. Once I had those two holes drilled, then I went ahead and clamped both blocks together and then basically used the two holes in the top block as pilots to drill the holes in the bottoms. So I just went ahead, like I said, clamped them together, took the drill, ran it down through the hole until I hit the bottom piece that hadn't drilled yet. Once I had drilled it far enough just to, you know, make a mark, basically, then I flipped it around, did the other end, took the clamps apart, finished drilling the holes. So that way the two sets of holes in the top and bottom were exactly the same distance apart. Then I went ahead and drilled a 3/4 inch hole smack dab in the middle of the top piece. And I just measured it across, and I can't remember what the measurement was right now, but I, you know, measured the length of the board, you know, cut the dimension in half, made the mark, and then put it in the middle. So, took a little while to drill it through because that's, you know, this is some old maple, you know, kind of dry it out, but it worked. Okay, so, once I had those two pieces all made, then I was ready to start assembling things. And let's see here. Taking little bit more of a peek over here in the chat room in case there was any questions. And no, I'm not talented. I see. It's just, this is the type of thing I do. You know, it's just, I try and do things as simply as possible so I could go ahead and, you know, teach others to do it. And I'll tell you what here. Why don't I do this? I will, at this point here, I'm going to just go ahead and pause for a couple minutes here before I go on to starting to assemble things. So I'm going to go ahead here and just put a piece of music in here. That'll give me a chance to let my voice rest for a few seconds. And then once it gets through playing, I'll be back. So this is one by, Brain Function, Randy Travis, Three Wooden Crosses. I figured since we're through with the wood there, it's time to play some music that's related to wood. Enjoy.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign. 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home and 80 acres, the faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he lay his blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of highway.
Okay. Well, yes. I thought that was probably a song that would be good to play. So, we're almost to the bottom of the hour. I'll do a little bit more talking here, and then I'll go ahead and put a station break in here. So anyway, I probably should have prefaced this whole discussion tonight a little bit more. Tincture presses can kind of come in handy. You might not really think of it, but it can. For example, I've been making my own vanilla extract here now for, I don't know how many years, probably 6 or 8 years. And, you know, when I make it, you know, it's done the usual way. You know, fill the jar probably. With vanilla beans, they usually go probably a quarter of the way up in the jar because they're fairly strong. And then I put my alcohol and water mix. I use Everclear and water mix to do my extracting from the vanilla beans. Well, when I've done that in the past, generally what I've had to do is, take a little strainer basket and, you know, pour the contents of my jar through that and then try and, you know, squeeze out as much of the excess liquid as I could in my fingers. Well, obviously, when you get through, you know, doing it that way, you know, I could put it into, like some cheesecloth or whatever. But again, you know, yeah, I could try and squeeze it out, but, you know, always the wet vegetable matter would always have more juice in there. And so, when I would do it, I'd always end up, you know, losing, you know, a fairly decent amount of my end product. So, but with a tincture press, when you do that, what you can do is, for example, when you're, you know, straining out, you know, the solid matter, before you do that, you take and put yourself a layer or two of cheesecloth into your strainer. You pour your jar of, you know, liquid and solids into that. You let it strain through, and then what you would do is, when you got, you know, as much dripped out of that as will drip out naturally on its own, you take that chunk of cheesecloth, you know, basically pick up the corners, tie it with some cord or some string, and at that point you would put it into your tincture press and squeeze out the rest of the liquid. Okay, so with that said, I think probably it's probably time for me to put one of our station IDs in. And being such that we're talking about tinctures, and tinctures not only can be vanilla, but they can be also medicinal herbs. So I think it might be a good idea for me at this point to go ahead and put in one of the spots for the Medic Shack.
Single-payer insurance. Obamacare. The ever-lessening power of the dollar. Medication getting out of reach due to cost, insurance, or it's just not available. Storms, floods, blizzards, earthquakes, riots, protests, martial law, Ferguson, Missouri, all over the United States. Walgreens is just not there. Learn how to find, make, and obtain your own medication on the Medic Shack with Kat Ellis, our producer Jacob Hudson, and myself, Chuck Hudson. Live, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, I am back. Sorry about that. The software sometimes decides when I do a spot that it just wants to lock up and kind of go, shall we say, toes up. So, again, sorry about the small sound gap there. Okay, so, let's see here. Where was I? Yes, I had looked in the chat room. Okay, yes, Iowa Cat. It's the same principle as a grape press or a cider press. You know, same sort of thing, except it's designed to handle smaller quantities of things. For example, this one that I built, like I said, this one uses some bowls that are about 6.5 inches diameter. If I would have gone with the full 1 foot width, like the original design called for, I could have probably put a 9-inch bowl, a set of 9-inch bowls in there. So again, it's not too bad. Like I said, this is just for small quantities of things. Say, for example, a person makes up, the example I used for making vanilla extract. Generally I make that up in either a pint or a quart jar, and so this is of a sufficient size to work for that. Same thing goes for when I'm doing elderberry extract. Usually I'll make it like in a quart size, and again, this is of a sufficient size. Okay, so I suppose I should probably go ahead and go back here to talking about how to assemble our tincture press. Okay, so first thing we'll want to do is we'll want to go ahead and assemble our base. So the way I did that was I took the 2 half-inch threaded rods and just spun a nut up on each, right, or just over 2 inches up on there, because it's going through a 2-inch piece of wood. Once I had those nuts threaded onto the shafts, I went ahead and inserted them through the holes that are in the block that's meant for the bottom. And if we scroll down one more picture here, you can see where I've pushed those rods through the holes. Now, it's half-inch holes drilled. It's a half-inch threaded rod, so it fit through there. It was not, super tight and not super loose. It just, slid through there nicely. Kind of a friction fit, shall we say. Okay, then what I did was took a second nut for each rod and turned it onto the threaded rods where it poked through. And what I did was I just took the nuts just far enough onto the threaded rod to where it was just basically flush or smooth at the bottom. Pushed them down on there, tighten the nuts up that would be on the top, on the main part of the rod. So this is what we end up with. wooden base, 2 rods sticking up that are held in with a nut on each. It's not rocket science, And so that's basically all that's needed to assemble, shall we say, the main body of our press. Now, if we scroll down to the next picture here, remember I'd mentioned about having that half-inch pipe flange, and we have our 3/4-inch threaded rod. Now, the difference, you'd think, it's a 3/4 rod. How can it fit into a half-inch pipe? Well, here's the thing. Pipe is measured on inside diameter, and the outside diameter of a threaded pipe generally runs 3/4 of an inch. So that's what you end up with here. So the threads on a 3/4-inch threaded rod will actually turn right into the hole that's on the pipe flange. I suppose you could say in one way it's kind of a useless bit of knowledge, but it's kind of useful as well. So, the way I went ahead to assemble the presser here for our press is I took the 3/4-inch rod, I turned a 3/4-inch nut on there up a little ways, and again, just like I did with the other nuts for the base, I turned this pipe flange on until the threaded rod just barely came through, so it's just basically, again, a fairly flat surface on the bottom. Then I took the 3/4-inch nut, turned it down, and tightened it up. It's fairly simple. A lot of times people think, to make a presser, it's got to be this, got to be all kinds of stuff. No, this is all it is. It's just a, like I said, 3/4-inch rod, the flange, and the nut just basically locks the flange in place so it can't turn. Okay, so go ahead down here to the next shot. Okay, so this one here is where I've basically assembled the whole presser. As you can see on the right side of the picture, we've got our flange, the nuts brought down tight against that. And then on the rod itself, I went ahead and turned another 3/4 inch nut onto it. You know, ran it almost halfway down onto there. And then I put a washer onto it. The washer, believe it or not, acts as a, shall we say, like a bearing surface. You know, it's smooth and the nut's smooth. So once we get it together, I will go ahead and show why we have the washer on here. But this is basically how the whole presser foot looks when it's assembled. Next step. And believe it or not, we're almost through. Okay, so on this next step here, remember I'd said about having that 3/4 inch hole drilled through on the top? Well, that's what we do. We just shove that rod up through that block. And that washer in there, that's between the nut and the board. And that will allow us to be able to adjust the height of the presser foot. So once that's put together, you know, kind of like a T-shape here, we'll go ahead here down one more. Okay, why don't I do this? I'm going to take a peek, quick peek here in the chat room to see if anybody had any questions so far. Okay. Yes, I just saw your comment here, Minnie. What about using a wider piece of wood for the bottom to stabilize the bowl? Yes. That was one of the things I thought of for, you know, the Mark II version of actually using a wider piece of wood on there. And, oops, sorry about that. Didn't mean to cough in everybody's ears. And let's see here. Minnie, your mind works just like mine. For those who are listening in podcast form, Minnie asked me, one more question. Is there a way to make a handle to use to turn the pipe, or should we use a pipe wrench or something? See? You guys are thinking along the same lines as I did with this. And like I said, I was basically duplicating the design from the other web page. And so this one here is, you know, like I said, a Mark I version. Because, yes, I was actually working on a couple things with that. And so, okay, with that, I'm holding that thought in my mind here. I'm going to go back over here to the pictures in just a second here. There, I'm back. Had to cough for a moment. Okay, so, we'll go ahead and get into that here about handles. Because this is where, like I said, you guys' minds are working just like mine on this. If we look at this next picture in the sequence, where I show how you just go ahead and slide the top block onto the two uprights from the bottom block. And what's done, once you get those rods through, you put a half inch fender washer on top of the board where the rods are poking through, and then you put a nut on there. Okay, so the way the person who came up with the original design would do it is he would actually he'd get his bowl set on the bottom with the bag, you know, the cheesecloth bag in, and then set the second bowl on, and then he would slide that presser foot down until it was pressing into the bowl. Then he would go ahead and turn that big nut upwards to push down on the bowl at the bottom. And then, the way he would do it, is he would alternate sides. You know, left side he'd turn down the half inch nut a ways, and then he'd go to the right hand side and turn it down. And then back to the left and back to the right and all that. And with doing that, what he'd do is take, and when the bottom bowl where he could look in there, he could see where the liquid was starting to be forced out of the bag. He would go ahead and just tip the whole assembly and pour the liquid out from the pair of bowls there into another one, and then, you know, continue to work his way down. Then we got as far as he could with the screws. He would have to loosen those nuts all up again and slide the presser foot all the way up, turn the bag, and then start the whole process over again. To me, that's a little bit too labor intensive. And so, yes, I was working out a method of doing it. Where the 3/4 inch nut is underneath the top, I've actually been trying to design up, a catcher for the nut, you know, to basically lock that in place. I know they do have it's like a flange nut with some, like, 4 spikes coming through it for use, like, in furniture making. I've never seen one that's for a 3/4 inch thread. So I've been trying to design up a nut catcher to where it could, you know, hold the nut in place solidly against the bottom of the top portion. Once I get that worked out, well, we're definitely would be very much on the way to doing like Minnie and Iowa Cat had said. You know, 'cause once that nut's trapped or held in place, then I could actually take another piece of flat stock, drill a 3/4 inch hole through it, and then up here at the top of the rod where it's sticking out, I could literally put a nut onto the shaft, put that T-handle on there, and then crank another nut down to pinch the whole thing. And that would actually give us a spinning lever or a handle at the top where literally that whole presser foot could be basically screwed right down and squeeze out as much of the liquid as one can possibly do it. That would be, you know, basically then only one nut and screw section to mess with for squeezing out any tincture. You know, whereas with the original design, like I said, this is, you know, duplicated from the design that was out on Practical Primitive. But, you know, that's, like I said, you know, his design was pretty much the same thing. You know, it's kind of a quick and dirty process. But, that's why I've been calling this a Mark I, because the Mark II form, which is going to be, going together as soon as I can figure out a really good system for capturing the nut. And once I get that figured out, then I'll probably be doing an addendum to this page to show people how to make one. And, and then I'll go ahead and show the Mark II modifications for it. So here we go. If we scroll down to the next shot here, this is, you know, basically a top view of the whole assembled unit. And again, like I said, here we've got our large washers underneath the half-inch nuts. And again, remember I said that's acts as a bearing surface. The nut, as it would be turned with a wrench, you know, to tighten it down, you don't want that digging into the wood. Because if it's digging into your wood, you know, if you're using pine or a fir 2x4, you could end up with sawdust down in your tincture, which I imagine it probably would not improve the flavor. So we put a washer on there. It gives a smooth surface for the nut to work against and press down. And actually, in this case here, I've got the bowls sitting in place underneath with the presser foot down into the bowl. And as you can see, that presser foot, this is basically the same size as the flat portion of the bottom of the bowl. Okay, and then here, the next and last shot for now is a side view of the whole assembled unit. And actually what I have in there is I actually took a white, you know, terry cloth towel and basically, you know, bundled it up like it was a cheesecloth bag full of herbs, just to give you an idea of how things would set together. And again, like I said, this was actually a project that took me... Actually, the longest thing on the whole process was running around to find the parts. From the time I took everything out, you know, laid it out on the cloth, went out to my garage and, you know, found the two pieces of 2x2 by 9.5 inch long maple. Start to finish, drilling it all, assembling it all, taking the pictures, I would say it was less than, probably 2.5 hours. And by the way, that 2.5 hours is also the time it took me to, make the web page here. So, actually a fairly simple process. It seems, or it sounds intimidating, you know, when you look at all the parts, but it's really not that bad. You have your base, which holds, like I said, the 2 half-inch rods. They're held in there solid, so there's no moving parts. And so the only thing that moves on it is the upper section. That'll slide up and down the shafts. And, again, it's not high speed, so it's not that critical to have, you know, everything perfect. But just as long as it's close enough, it works. Okay, so... Let's see, what's this? Looking here. You're thinking of like a water valve topper. Yes, that's exactly the type of thing I was thinking of. You know, taking, say, like a piece of strap iron that's, say 6 or 8 inches long by 1 inch wide. Maybe 1.25 inches wide, you know, to give you a little bit of leeway. But then, you know, you drill that half-inch hole through the middle of it, and, you know, that would give you your T shape. And actually, like you're saying, for hands with arthritis, you could actually, say, take and wrap both ends of that bar with, like, say, some thin foam rubber and then duct tape and wrap it around there good and tight so that it would cushion your hands somewhat. So that's how it would work. And yes, that when I looked at the design, IWCAT, yeah, I was originally thinking that it was the middle portion that was screwed down. And actually, the original designer, like I said, he had the middle screw in there as being just a more or less as a captive thing. But yeah, to me it makes more sense, or would make more sense, is, you know, having something to capture the nut to hold that in place, and then one could actually screw it down with that center screw. So okay, now I finally understood that if someone invents a nut catcher, this chat room is toast. Well, yeah, we have to be a little nuts, but that's cool. Yes, thank you for the compliments on it, but like I said, it was basically I saw a design and kind of, shall we say, ran with it. So, okay, so what is this here? We got 5 minutes to the hour here. Oh, well, tell you what. If people could stand some more of my weird music tonight, I'll go ahead and intersperse that with some other little bit nicer music. So, yes. So, I'll tell you what here. I'm going to go ahead here, and we'll go ahead and, well, yes. I got a piece of music here I'll put in here. And I'll let that play, and then at the top of the hour, obviously, I'll go ahead and get a, shall we say, a station break in here. And then after that, I think I'm good for probably, I think I'm good for at least another half hour, if not another hour's worth. So with that said, enjoy. I'm going to go ahead in here and put a little bit in here from Golden Earring and their version of Twilight Zone.
Somewhere along the hotel room, those guys thought and realized that eternal fate has turned his back on him.
It's 2 a.m.
It's 2
a.m. Fear is gone.
It's 2
a.m. The sun's still warm.
Mad house, feels like
here we are. We're at the top of the hour. So thank you for joining us here in the Tinker Shop tonight for the 17th of January of 2015. And take care. God bless and be well.
I read a note my grandma wrote back in 1923. Grandpa kept it in his coat, and he showed it once to me. He said, "Boy, you might not understand, but a long, long time ago, Grandma's daddy didn't like me none, but I loved your grandma so. We had this crazy plan to meet and run away together, get married in the first town we came to and live forever. But nailed to the tree where we were supposed to meet instead, I found this letter, and this is what it said. If you get there before I do, don't give up on me. I'll meet you when my chores are through. I don't know how long I'll be, but I'm not gonna let you down. Darling, wait and see. And between now and then, until I see you again, I'll be loving you. Love me. I read those words just hours before my grandma passed away. In the doorway of a church where me and grandpa stopped to pray, I know I'd never seen him cry in all my 15 years. But as he said these words to her, his eyes filled up with tears. If you get there before I do, don't give up on me. I'll meet you when my chores are through. I don't know how long I'll be, but I'm not gonna let you down. Darling, wait and see. And between now and then, until I see you again, I'll be loving you. Love me. Between now and then, until I see you again.